An Osho Talk.
Zen, the Diamond Thunderbolt, number 10.
One day, Ujo, meaning solitary cloud, called on the Zen master Dogen. Dogen cited the saying, "One hair pierces myriad holes," to question him closely. Ijo trusted in Dogen and surrendered to him. After that, he had no desire to go anywhere else, so he changed his robe and stayed there. Before long, Dogen moved to another place, and Ijo went along with him. One day, as he was setting out his bowl, he suddenly attained enlightenment and immediately went with full ceremony into Dogen's room. Dogen asked him, "What have you understood?" Ijo said, "I do not ask about the one hair. What are the myriad holes?" Dogen laughed and said, "Pierced." Ijo bowed. Afterwards, he asked to serve as Dogen's personal attendant, taking care of his robes and bowl.
Manisha, before we enter into the world of Zen, I have to say few absolutely essential things concerning this country, its politicians and its priests. Nobody seems to be interested in the actual problems of the country, of today and tomorrow. Everybody seems to be concerned with such trivia. The priests are worried that the untouchables should not enter in the temples, as if that is anything very important to human existence. And few friends from Delhi have reported me that now Delhi looks almost as if it has been in a war or it is ready for a war. Rajiv Gandhi, the Prime Minister, has surrounded his home with machine guns, with sandbags, so that the people holding the machine guns can hide behind them. Not only at his home, but wherever he goes, those machine guns and those sandbags all over the places, in the club he goes, or in the parliament he goes, the same scene. It seems he is suffering from paranoia. And not a single politician has raised the question that what is the meaning of this? This is a war arrangement. Why are you so afraid? You can have a bodyguard, that's okay. But it does not mean to fill the whole city with machine guns. Is there any intention to kill thousands of people? There seems to be a tremendous fear. And he is concerned only with his own life. And I am wanting to know to this country the reality which every politician and priest is avoiding. The priests are concerned that cows should not be slaughtered, as if that is the problem. The untouchables should not enter in the temples, as if that will solve every problem. A recent World Bank report stated that by the turn of the century, 54% of the world's illiterate population would be in India. Also, by that time, 62% of India's women would not go to the school. 75,000 villages, I repeat, 75,000 villages would be without water. And 40% of India's population would be living below the poverty line. Within these coming 12 years, India's population is estimated by the very moderate estimators that it will become 1 billion, but I suspect the more neutral observers say that it will double to the population than it is today. When India became free 40 years before, its population was only 400,000. 400 million. And just within 50 years, today it is 900 million. 500 million between 45 years. It has doubled. The more accurate it seems that by the end of this century, India will not be only 1 billion, it will be 1,080,000,000. doubled to the population that it has today. But nobody is concerned about it. The politician is afraid because the Shankaracharyas are against birth control. The Jaina Acharyas are against birth control. And their only fear is that if anybody talks about birth control, he is being condemned immediately as teaching immorality to the country. And except birth control, there is no way out. A very strict birth control but it seems nobody is concerned. Everybody is interested in becoming a chief minister or a cabinet minister or a chief of some other position. Nobody seems to be that when half of the country will be dying by your side, how you will be able to live sanely. 500 million people dying, the whole country will become a graveyard. But it seems to be intrinsic to human mind always to avoid the problems and get involved into trivia, knowing that the big problems need courage and guts and intelligence to solve them. It is better not even to talk about them, not to make the people aware of the problems that they are going to face soon. And let them fight over stupid things, that this state should remain divided or undivided, this district should remain in this state or another state. In 40 years, India's constitution has decided Hindi to be the national language, but they have not been able to implement it in 40 years. And I say even in 4,000 years, they will not be able to implement it. It will remain written in their constitution, because nobody wants to take the risk to say anything, because there are 30 languages in India. Hindi is the major language, and even understood by other languages. But as far as making it a national language, there is great resistance from 29 languages. If they are together, Hindi becomes a minority. There have been riots And stupid things, you cannot write in Madras on your shop board or on your restaurant board any other language than Tamil. Particularly those places where Hindi was written, on railway stations, on buses, they were burnt. They had to be changed. Now a train moves through many states. Do you want it to change its words and everything on every border of each state? When it enters into Gujarat, it should have Gujarati, and when it enters into Maharashtra, it should have Marathi, and then it goes into Karnataka, and then it goes into Tamil Nadu. A train moves all over the country, and these are the trivia. Thousands of people have been killed because they resisted, they will not change their boards. Their houses were burned. And just now, in the assembly, there has been a great turmoil because so much against the police forces has come to revelation, because they are behind the crimes in North India. They have burned villages, complete villages of Harijans, raped their women, took away their daughters and sold their daughters in 50 rupees, 100 rupees at the most. Just in this state, Maharashtra, against every crime, there is the hand of the police. It seems the police is to protect the crime, because crime is paying. Those criminals bribe. And of course, only the poor suffer, because nobody is going to listen to them. They don't have any voice. Their situation is so miserable that just today Ananda was reading about two districts in Maharashtra where every man at least changes 10 times his wife. Wife seems to be just a model of a machine. Whenever he has money, he purchases a new wife, 50 rupees, 60 rupees, at the most 100 rupees, and sells his old wife. He has used the old wife 1 year, that's enough. And we have been taught in the schools and in the universities that this is a great civilization. And women are being sold like cattle. The survey in these two districts has revealed that every man almost has changed 10 times. And what happens to the children? 8%, 8 out of 10, 80% die because the mother has been sold. And a new woman has been purchased who has no concern with these children. Within 7 years of age, almost 80% are finished. These are real concerns. Not the political games. And particularly in a situation when the war seems to be coming closer every day. Just 2 days before, Iraq and Iran has been fighting for 8 years continuously and killed 1 million people. Both are Mohammedan states, but a small difference in their theology. It is so hilarious that for that small difference, millions of people between 400 years after Muhammad has been killed. The difference is that Muhammad has one son and one daughter. Obviously, one son-in-law. The son-in-law was more intelligent, more capable. The son was not that much intelligent and capable, but he was traditionally the successor of Muhammad. So a division immediately happened on the graveyard of Muhammad. Few people remained with the tradition that the eldest son should be the successor. And the others said, it is unintelligent seeing the situation when we have a better alternative and who is not far away. He is also a son-in-law. This difference has created two sects of Mohammedanism and they have been killing each other. What do you want by killing each other? Can you decide it now? Who was the real successor and what does it mean? What matters? Who was the successor? These trivia, just 2 days before they came to a point of ceasefire. And within 2 hours, Iraq again attacked. The ceasefire remained only 2 hours under the observers of UNO. But what UNO can do? It has no armies of its own. It has no power of its own. At the most, it can send observers. What they can do? You can go observing. At the most, you may be killed in the fight. And all the big countries need fights to continue everywhere, small fights, because that is their market. Science goes on improving on destructive weapons. Every year, new weapons are available. What you are going to do with the old weapons which you have piled for years? Now they have become absolutely useless. And you have wasted so much money. Almost 70% of every nation's money goes into creating destructive weapons, armies, nuclear weapons, atomic weapons. They need small nations to go on fighting because they purchase the old, out-of-date weapons. That is a strange economy. If all wars cease, America will lose all its power immediately. The dollar will fall down to the earth. Because it will lose the market. It is a good conspiracy, a great partnership with Soviet Union. Soviet Union goes on supplying one party its old weapons and another party which is against that party gets weapons from America. Both have good market all around the world. It seems to be unbelievable that after the Second World War, there have been near about 300 wars, small wars, because big nations need them. They are their market. Otherwise, all their money they have invested in their arms, which have become out of date for them. It became a strange situation when America, few days before, attacked Iran. It was not only foolish, it was also inhuman. Because rather than attacking Iran, they attacked a jumbo jet aeroplane of civilians, 750 people. And now they say they could not recognize it. In those 750 people, there were children near about 50, and small babies near about 20, and old men and old women, and nobody was interested in any war. They were traveling Just the plane belonged to Iran. And in that fight with Iran that lasted only 2 days, America has to step back for a very strange reason. The reason was that America has sold his old weapons not to Iran directly but to Egypt. And Egypt has sold those weapons to Iran. Those old weapons, the soldiers are absolutely acquainted how to use them. And American soldiers were not expert of the latest computerized mechanisms. Just a slight wrong button pressed and you explode yourself. Within 2 days, America has to back for a strange reason because they have better instruments. But those instruments need a long training. Meanwhile, the old piled instruments have to be sold. Somebody somewhere has to continue to fight. It is a strange part of the history that people think Soviet Union and America are enemies. They are enemies on the surface. Underneath it is a partnership. Both use the market, one from one side, the other from other side. And both are interested that fight should continue. In Afghanistan, America was sending soldiers and arms, Soviet Union was sending arms and soldiers. It seems the whole earth is just a market for few idiots who have collected unnecessary arms. But nobody is concerned with the real problem. With this 70% energy that is wasted in arms, we can make this whole earth more alive, more long living, more intelligent, having better facilities in every direction. Science has brought us to a moment in history where this planet can be transformed into a paradise, but rather than turning it into a paradise, all our politicians and priests are trying to turn it into a hellfire. And perhaps even hellfire will not be nuclear. It will be ordinary old-fashioned wood fire. Up to now, it was thought that India belongs to the third world countries. Now the World Bank thinks that it is no more the case. It has now admitted itself to the fourth world. And it will go on falling down and down. Because those who are in power know nothing of economics, know nothing about humanity and compassion. The whole country and the whole world finally has to be completely made aware of the situation that is going to come. When it has come, it will be too late to do anything. Right now, very small margin is still possible that things can take a change for the better. I had to say this because this country has contributed a new dimension to the world. It has given birth to Buddhas, the highest peaks of consciousness. It deserves a certain respect in the sense that many mystics in this country entered into the most miraculous spaces of human consciousness and have left keys, indications, footsteps, pointing the way. The whole world has remained materialistic. The present day India is no more the same India in which Buddha was born. It is now more materialistic than any other country. And the reason is 300 years of British rule destroying everything that was India's genius, forcing an education which is materialistic. You will not believe that India produced the best garments in the world, particularly what is today Bangladesh, used to produce such thin material that you can cover a whole elephant and still the material can pass through a small ring on your fingers. Thousands of people's hands were cut by British Empire just because those craftsmen will not allow Manchester machine was unable to compete with them. They have inherited the craftsmanship for centuries. And to bring British garments into India, these people's hands had to be cut. Such inhumanity to human beings, rather than respecting them, they were destroyed completely. And it was not new. You will not be aware because these things are not mentioned. Whoever mentions them is condemned. Taj Mahal was made in 30 years and almost 10,000 craftsmen continuously worked for 30 years. Generations change. The father has come to work and now the grandson was working. And when the Taj Mahal was complete, 10,000 people's hands were cut by the Mughal emperor, Shah Jahan. They created Taj Mahal, and this was the award. Their hands had to be cut so that they cannot create another Taj Mahal, and Taj Mahal should remain a unique architecture, a miracle. It seems we are living in a very insane world. At least bring yourself to sanity, and there is only one sanity that arises with your awareness, and spread it wide around the world. Perhaps this small commune of 7,000 people here can still save the world, because you come from all over the world. Just understand the responsibility of the time. If you can become a message, never a missionary, that is an ugly and dirty world. Become a message. Your very being should radiate your meditation. Your silence should touch people's heart like cool breeze. These anecdotes happens to a very different climate. Man was reaching towards stars, but has been stopped by the Western powers. Because the East was never ready to fight, never ready to be violent. So any Western power, English, French, Portuguese, Spanish, Russian, they all spread over the east without any fight, because the east was never thinking of fight. It was thinking of meditation. It was thinking to conquer oneself. What is the point of conquering others? But it was a good opportunity for all kinds of robbers, because I cannot consider these people Spanish, Portuguese, English, French, whoever have been involved in spreading their empires, political or economic. They are just robbers to be condemned . Strangely enough, they make the history. They become the heroes. Their names are written in gold. The Attorney General of America admits, who said in a press conference that we were determined to destroy the commune at Rajneeshpuram in Oregon, because their being there was dangerous to the morality of the country. And now he has been found to have done hundreds of crimes. Adultery included. And his wife is suing him because he was unfaithful to her. And this man was talking about morality. And he said that he wants Bhagwan's voice to be silenced. Now he has to retire, almost forced to retire. Retirement is just a soap. He has been kicked out. Now he must know whose voice is silenced. It is something very miraculous. The whole Oregon, which we had put on the map of the world, otherwise who has ever heard of Oregon? No Socrates was ever born there. No Jesus was crucified there. No Lao Tzu, no Confucius. The University of Oregon itself has come out with a survey that the Oregonians have only half the intelligence than the people of Rancho Rajneesh. They are of the age of 7. And the people of the commune they have destroyed at the age 14, at least double. But it always happens. Rocks can destroy roses, but nature has its own ways. Today, now, the whole Oregon is suffering from no rains except Rancho Rajneesh, which they have destroyed, but all the clouds have soured, and friends have sent pictures to me. And when I had reached for the first time, it was just a desert, a long desert. For 40 years it was on sale and nobody was ready to purchase it. What you will do with a desert? Although it was big, 126 square miles, but my people managed to convert it into an oasis with tremendous labor, with love, with dance. We had a certain affinity with that land, and certainly the clouds have proved that they would rather shower in the desert a strange communication. Existence always supports innocence. It may be a little late. One day, Ijo, meaning solitary clouds, called on the Zen master, Dozen cited the saying, "One hair pierces myriad holes." To question him closely, Ijo trusted in Dogen and surrendered to him. Do you see the strangeness that this series is dedicated to the clouds? And this anecdote is about Ijo, which means clouds. Not only cloud, but solitary cloud. A solitary cloud has a beauty, shining in the sun, moving in freedom. Dogen was one of the most famous Zen masters. Dogen cited the saying to Ijo, "One hair pierces myriad holes." anybody would have asked him what is the meaning of it. Inno was also filled with the desire to ask, but this is how a disciple behaves. To question him closely, Izzo trusted, because to ask a question to a master, you first must be ready to receive the answer. It is a totally different process. Then you have been taught in your schools and colleges and universities. In Zen, you can ask the question if you are ready to receive the answer. So first cleanse yourself. He remained with Dzogchen, trusted in Dzogchen, and surrendered to him. This word surrender is one of the difficult ones, because in the West and in Western languages it always means humiliation. Army surrender. Nations surrender. It does not have a right connotation. But in the Eastern languages, it has nothing to do with army surrendering or nations surrendering. It has a meaning that you have seen into the eyes of the Master, you have felt his presence, he has touched your heart, nothing is said, but he has overwhelmed you. You were just a stranger, but he opened his whole heart. Out of gratitude, you bow down to him. It is just a symbolic gesture that I am ready to receive, that I will not resist you, I will trust you. That it is not going to be a relationship between teacher and student, I want to be a disciple. I am in search of a master, and in you I feel the freshness, the breeze, the radiation. Although much has to be asked, I have many questions, but I surrender exactly the way you surrender to a surgeon. You don't inquire about his character, what kind of man he is. I used to know a great surgeon in Nagpur. I have never seen a greater hypocrite And he was certainly the best surgeon even in his old age. Doctors from far away used to come to see his surgery. He has a miraculous hand to find out the right spot in the brain is not an ordinary phenomenon. He was a brain surgeon. And to cut anything in the brain, you need a hand that does not waver. If it waves just a little bit, trembles, you may cut many other nerves in the brain, because the brain is almost like Tokyo. No space anywhere. Seven million cells, you have to be very careful, because even one cell is cut, it will affect something in your body. Your whole body is controlled by those 7 million cells. So only the right cell that is disturbing you has to be removed. It is one of the most careful craftsmanship. And he was certainly able to do it. But he was a cheat, a fraud. What he used to do, his fees were very much. Only very richest people could afford. And he will open their brains and he will ask their relatives waiting outside. The patient is on the table, the brain has been opened, and he will ask few more 1,000 rupees, because he has never calculated before that the problem is more difficult than he thought. Already they were giving him more than was right. But in such a situation, of course, whether they could afford or not, even if they had to sell their houses and their lives, they will have to say yes. I used to stay with him because of a common friend. I said, this is absolutely inhuman. If you want 10,000 rupees, ask before. But this is absolute exploitation, that you ask for 5,000 and then you come out and ask for 5 more. He said, it does not matter, you don't know my greed. If I ask 10 in the beginning, that does not make any difference. I will again ask for 10 in the middle. In the middle I have to ask, because that is the right moment, they cannot say no. I said, but do you consider humanity at all? He said, money is the God. People don't say it clearly, but I say it clearly. And I will make every opportunity to yield as much money as possible. It is just like milking the cow. Go on milking. As long as even a drop of milk remains, I said to him that you have been educated in the West in the most prominent medical institutions, but that does not mean that you have to forget completely the Eastern attitude that man is the ultimate value. He said, on that point I cannot agree with you. I agree with you on all points, but about money, don't say anything to me. And I know that it is not only he, but almost everybody has fallen so low that nothing matters in life except money. You can purchase anybody. Prime ministers are purchased. Presidents of the countries are purchased. You can purchase anybody, just you have to give the right amount of money. These stories are of the time when man was dignified and was in search of his inner source. After that, he had no desire to go anywhere else. Once you have found your master, the desire to go anywhere else disappears. So he changed his robe and stayed there. He took on the robe of Dzogchen's disciple before long. Dzogchen moved to another place and Ijo went along with him. One day, as he was setting out his bowl, he suddenly attained enlightenment and immediately went with full ceremony into Dzogchen's room. Going with full ceremony is a little bit difficult to understand. Radiating the inner light in the eyes, something new, in the gestures a new grace. When a man becomes enlightened, he is no more the same. He simply becomes a ceremony. Dzogchen asked him, "What have you understood? Why you are appearing so ceremonious?" Why you have suddenly become a festival of lights? What has happened? Ezo said, "I do not ask about the one hair what are the myriad holes. Years before this quotation, Dzogchen has told when he has come for the first time, and he waited so long. We have forgotten how to wait. That is almost an abandoned space, and it is our greatest treasure to be able to wait for the right moment. The whole existence waits for the right moment. Even trees know it. Then when it is the time to bring the flowers, and when it is time that to let go all the leaves and stand naked against the sky, they are still beautiful in that nakedness, waiting for the new foliage with a great trust that the old has gone, the new will be soon coming, and the new leaves start growing." We have forgotten to wait. We want everything in a hurry. That is one of the great losses to humanity. Now the first day of his entry into Dzogchen's temple, and years have passed, and he has waited, meditated, remained silent, watched the master, moved with him to wherever he went, just became a shadow, utterly surrendered, never raised a question. These are the things to be noted down, that he never asked a question. Although there was a question, but he waited. He knew that the master knows. He also knows that a certain question is there in me. Whenever time is ripe, he will answer it. And the time came, and these are the moments which our modern education makes us absolutely incapable to understand. We cannot understand how one day as he was setting out his bowl, he suddenly attained enlightenment. We cannot understand The modern education gives us no clue. There is no reason for him to become enlightened. But enlightenment is not something visible. It is his waiting silently without asking in deep trust. That has ripened. The bowel is not the cause of it. Something inside, just like a small baby growing in his mother's womb. In silence and waiting, something inside you goes on growing, your authentic being. And one day, it jumps and becomes a flame, and your whole personality is settled. You are a new man. And this new man knows what ceremony is. This new man knows life's eternal juices. Immediately after his enlightenment, he went with full ceremony, with great dignity, for the first time knowing himself to be divine, for the first time knowing himself to be eternal, for the first time becoming part of the mystery of the whole. The roses have blossomed. He entered with a new breeze and with a new fragrance, with all ceremony. Doesn't ask what has happened. At this moment, he thought it is time to ask the question. He has waited long. He deserves. He said, I do not ask about the one hair. Why he is not asking about the one hair? Because now he has seen that one hair himself. That one hair I have called the thunderbolt lightning. Just like a spear, an awareness enters into your being. Metaphorically, Zen has called it one hair. It is very thin, very quick, very sudden. In a moment you die and you are born again. He said, I do not ask about the one hair that I have solved. But what are the myriad holes that I cannot figure out yet? Dozen laughed and said, pierced. slowly you will become aware, because your spearhead has already pierced all those holes. But it has been too immediate that you could not see. All the layers of your mind, personality, thoughts, emotions, they all have been pierced. So many holes have been made in you. Just wait a little more and you will understand. Izzo bowed again. First he has bowed in trust. Now he is bowing in knowing. His trust has not been wrong. He has trusted the right feet. He has been around the right person. Izzo bowed. Afterwards he asked to serve as Dzogchen's personal attendant, taking care of his robes and bow. That shows the humbleness of the enlightened person. Ordinarily, people think the enlightened person should become very special, almost out of our reach. That is not true. And if you find someone pretending to be high, superior, then you can take it for granted that man knows nothing. Enlightenment, awakening to your being, is also awakening to the being of everyone. The man of enlightenment becomes absolutely humble, a nobody. Since my childhood, I have heard it so many times, told by my elders, my father, my uncles, my other relatives, that the way you are growing up you will end up into nothing. Of course, their meaning was not the same, but I have ended up in nothing. Without knowing, they have said the truth. You are here just to learn how to be nothing, how to be nobody. A poem runs, a crash of thunder opens the crown of the head, revealing original man. And another poem, words, fluttering, dizzle and snow, silence, a roaring thunderbolt. Manisha has asked, is the one hair the diamond thunderbolt? Yes, Manisha. That which pierces to your very innermost core, that is the one hair, the diamond thunderbolt, because it transforms you into an eternity. It gives you the greatest blissfulness possible. It makes you one in tune with the whole existence. There is no other religion than this small one hair, the diamond thunderbolt. In our meditations, we are waiting only for this thunderbolt, this lightning that will go on waking you up, making you aware beyond your bones and beyond your brain. You are an immense universe of consciousness. She has also asked another question. What is it about those times when you laugh that touch me so much and make me feel so swamped with love for you, Manisha? Those are the moments when the thunderbolt touches you. It is a very fine experience. That's why they have called it the hair. I have nothing to laugh. There is nobody inside me to laugh. There is no situation absurd enough to make me laugh. But just to give you company, just not to be an outsider, I laugh once in a while. With the permission of all the Buddhas here. Pope the Pollock is about to travel helicopter around Poland and to visit his people, leaving Warsaw for the rural areas. He boards the brand new helicopter for the first time. The Pope approaches the craft, bends down and kisses it, gets in, sits down, looks around, and then turns to the pilot and asks, "Are you hot?" "No," replies the pilot. Then the Pope turns to the co-pilot and asks, "Are you hot?" "No, I'm not," replies the co-pilot. "Okay," says Pope the Pollock, pointing upwards, "then could we turn off the fan?" Paddy and Shamus are sitting around the Nag and Bitch pub discussing their wives. I have not spoken to my wife in weeks, says Shamus. Really? Slurs Paddy. What is the matter? Are you mad at her? Hell no, replies Shamus. I am afraid to interrupt her. It is the Last Supper. Everyone has finished their dinner, and the waiter brings Jesus the bill. Heavens above, says Jesus, I can't afford this. And he passes the bill to Peter. Holy mackerel, says Peter, and passes the bill to Mark. Lord, save us, says Mark, and he passes the bill to Simon. This continues all down the table until at the very far end the bill is passed to Judas. Holy Moses, cries Judas, and where the hell am I going to get 30 pieces of silver? At 4 o'clock in the morning, a drunk named Orville staggers into the Bowery flop house shouting, I am Jesus Christ! I am Jesus Christ! The sleeping men are all awakened. I am Jesus Christ! Screams the widow again. Ah, shut up! Elder others, be quiet! I tell you, I am Jesus Christ, slobbers Orville more emphatically. If you don't believe me, come downstairs and I will show you. A few other drunks get up and follow Orville outside, where he walks up to a closed pub and begins yelling and banging on the door. The proprietor, who lives upstairs, hears the noise and comes downstairs. Listen, slurs Orville to the other drinks. This guy is my witness. The proprietor opens the door, takes one look at old drunk Orville, and says, Jesus Christ, are you here again? Naam Nivedana. Give the first beat. Be silent. Close your eyes. Feel almost frozen. Gather your consciousness inwards. Deeper and deeper. Because at the deepest point, the diamond thunderbolt passes through, piercing all the layers of ignorance that you have gathered in your millions of lives. Great is this moment in which 7,000 Buddhas are joining at one center. Nivedana, relax, let go. Be dead so you can understand absolutely clearly in contrast the living point in you. This silence, this peace, this centering is the language that humanity unfortunately forgotten completely. It has to be reminded of it. Be soaked in its light, in its love. In its music, in its dance. And remain aware of it. 24 hours, whatever you are doing, and your every act will be virtue. Your silence will be a sign. Your actions will be your devotion. Whatever you do, if you can remember this center, is an offering to existence. You can offer to existence only if you are a Buddha, awakened, free. Showered with all the ecstasy that the skies contain. Nivedano, now come back, sit for a few seconds just to collect the memory, the experience, the space you have passed through. Remember, you are a Buddha. To be a Buddha is your birthright. To be anything else is to go astray. Can we celebrate so many Buddhas together?